Praise the Lord, amen. I thankful to see a beautiful crowd of people to worship the Lord this morning. He certainly deserves it. I want you to know he deserves it every single Sunday, every single day. He deserves this kind of worship. And I know a lot of you that's born again Christians have spent this past week and thinking about the Lord and what he suffered and endured for us, and thanking him for all those things, the love that he showed to us by going all the way to the cross for us. I thought about John chapter 13. That's not where I'm going to preach from. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and then we'll bounce over into Hebrews chapter 10. But in John chapter 13, he said this. He said, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Amen. I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful this morning, as it says in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated his love to all of us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I want to make sure that you heard that this morning and that you understand it. While we were still sinners. In other words, not once we get ourselves cleaned up. While we were still enslaved to sin, while we still loved our sins, Christ died for us. Yeah. Died in our place. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to understand the truth that Christ's death can change your life. And I mean really change it.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about changing a few of your habits. I'm not talking about changing how you spend your Sunday mornings. I'm not talking about changing just the circumstances in your life. I'm not talking about just all this surface level stuff. I'm talking about something much deeper and much greater than all of that. This is the truth of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. This is as plain as you can put the gospel. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Amen?
Amen.
According to the scriptures. That's the gospel that you have to believe to be saved. That's the gospel that you have to believe. That's the gospel that we preach, because that's the gospel that changed us. That's the gospel that set me free.
Amen.
Every Christian in here could testify of the cleansing power and the grace of God that set them free. And it came through that gospel that tells us the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every single one. What I'm saying to you is this. If you'll believe that gospel that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day, it'll set you free just like it set me free. It'll change you like it changed me. Amen? And again, not just on the surface. Not just on the surface. But it'll change your heart. It'll change your soul. It'll change your mind. It'll change your life. It'll change your eternity. It changes your everything. You see, when this happens, You're born again. The way you think, the way you feel, the things you love, what makes you happy, the things you desire, the things you hope to do, your purpose, how you want to live, everything, it all changes. Because Christ comes in and lives in you. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, that's where you got to be. You can only be in one of two places.
Yeah.
You can be in Adam or you can be in Christ.
Yeah.
There's only two choices. And he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen.
Yeah.
Some of you in here this morning, you're in sin's prison and you're without Christ in the world. And maybe you've heard the gospel before, but I don't know what it is. The enemy of your soul, maybe he's been deceiving you and trying to keep you from the Lord and to keep you from believing the gospel. I believe the enemy's got a lot of folks convinced that Following Jesus only makes things worse. Just instead, chase after things that don't really matter. And I want you to know, your home, your career, your car, your bank account, your retirement, all of those things, none of those things really matter. What really matters is your soul. That's what really matters. That's the very thing that's at stake, and that's the very thing that the gospel is trying to reach out to. Christ wants to redeem you and to save your soul. The enemy knows how to play on our pride. He knows how to convince us that the life we're living, it's just fine without the Lord. It's all good. He works on us. He convinces you don't need Jesus. You don't need this gospel. You don't need the church. You don't need the Bible. You don't need a Savior. You don't need to be a Christian, because he wants to keep you in sin's prison. He doesn't want you to see the truth. He doesn't want you to understand the truth. But I believe this morning that deep down in your soul, you know that's not true.
Amen.
I believe there's a drawing power, a pulling at each of your hearts. I believe that God the Father, in his great love and mercy, has been revealing the truth of the gospel to some of you. I believe there's a sense of conviction. If not, I don't believe you'd be here today. I don't believe you would come and listen to a gospel that you don't believe in, and hear about a Jesus that you don't care about, and hear about a God that you don't believe in. I believe there's something in you that tells you, something that lets you know, that there is more to life than the foolishness of chasing after material things and chasing after all the world's good. I believe you know there's a salvation that you need and a Savior that can deliver it. I believe you know that, just like Nathan read this morning, I believe you know that you're separated from God. I believe there's a nagging sense of that separation. I believe there's a conviction, and I believe you know you need Jesus. And I want you to know this morning, the gospel says that Christ died for your sins and rose again. Amen. I believe with all my heart this morning, the same Jesus who died on that cross, I believe he rose again. I do not believe in a dead Jesus. I believe exactly what the Word of God says. Christ said this himself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He said, "I am he who lives. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. I have the keys of Hades. I have the keys of death. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Always lives. This is not a great mystery. I believe there's a great many people today. And I want you to really listen to me for the next few minutes. I believe there's a great many people today who have no problem with what I just said. I believe that there's probably some in the church this morning. You say, sure, I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again. You profess to believe that with your mouth, but you don't really believe it. Because if you believed it, you would have great joy in following him. Your life would not be the same as it was. Some of you have made a profession of faith, and your life is still exactly like it always was. I don't believe you believe. I'm being very honest with you this morning. Listen, when Paul saw the resurrected Jesus, Brother John and I was talking about this morning. When Paul saw Jesus resurrected, now Paul was an educated man. He was a who's who. He had wealth. He had power. He had authority. But when Paul saw Jesus resurrected, you know what he said? He said, "I'll give everything up for this man Christ. I count that all as dung, as rubbish. None of it means anything to me anymore. All I want is to know him and the power of his resurrection." Amen. And I believe if you were born again, that would be your testimony too. You would say, all I want is Christ. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. In the time we're living in today, it seems like, especially in our area, everybody thinks they're a Christian. Friend, your profession, if it's not visibly demonstrated in the way that you're, if there's no change in you, all you've got is empty words. And I want you to know that. I know that people don't want to hear hard preaching on Easter. I don't think it's hard. I think we need the truth. I think it's the truth that'll set us free. Amen.
Yeah.
I believe if you were truly born again, you'd be satisfied in Him. You'd be taking great pleasure in His Word. You'd be living for Him. You'd be trusting Him and obeying Him and worshiping Him. And I'm telling you today that there's churches that are full of people that say they're a Christian. They confess the death and resurrection of Christ with their mouth, but they don't believe that truth within their heart. And I want you to see what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, a verse that so many people cling to. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say or. It doesn't say if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus or believe in your heart. It's got to be both. It's a both way. It's confession and belief. And so many people today, they just have a confession without belief. I want you to know this morning that an empty profession is powerless. It's worthless. It's just a religious coat that you try to use to hide the stain of sin. But that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is not you trying to cover your sins in good works. It's not you trying to cover your sins with new habits. Christianity is knowing that Christ has washed away your sins and that there are no more stains because all your sins are washed and cleansed in His blood. That's what Christianity is. That's the power of Christ, and that's the good news of the gospel. And I want to preach this gospel to you. And I know this morning I can't preach it the way it deserves to be preached. But if I hold your attention for a moment, and I want to do my best to proclaim this gospel to you. Those of you that are here that are lost, I'm praying for you this morning. I believe that this message is a call for you to believe the gospel. I believe your very soul is at stake. And I want you to experience the true grace of God. I want you to trust in Christ by faith. I want you to repent of your sins and give your life to Christ and to be washed and set free by the power of the gospel. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. That includes you. Each of you listening this morning, if you will believe and trust in Jesus, that gospel can save you. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's because of God's mercies that it's not too late for you. Your sins are not too many. By God's grace, you can be saved today. Amen. If you'll just believe the gospel, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Now, for those that are saved, I hope the born-again believers is that this message would encourage you, and as you hear the gospel truths again, that your soul would overflow with joy, your heart would overflow with praise and gratitude, so that you could be refreshed and revived, and that the power of the gospel would work in you again, and it would cause you to want to worship your risen Savior. Amen. I watched you worship in singing a little. Now I want you to worship in the Word. Amen. I want your heart to be dedicated to Him. Singing's good, but we're not begotten by the singing. We're begotten by the Word. We need to preach the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Now, if you'll just go to Hebrews chapter 10 in your Bible, we'll look there for a few minutes. And by God's grace, you pray for me this morning, but we'll pray together, if you don't mind. Father, as we open your Word again, Lord, we pray, God, that you would give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, We need the anointing of the Spirit, God. We want to be able to preach in a way that pleases you, God. Lord, you know how nervous we feel. But God, we pray that you calm everything down, Lord, and help us to hear the plain, simple truth of the gospel. And that every heart in here that's in bondage to sin, every heart in here, every soul that's in sin's prison, God, we pray would see the light of the gospel and believe, God. What a blessing it would be today, God, to see souls saved. Lord, to see people come to faith in you. You deserve every soul to worship. You deserve every soul, God, to lift up your praise. God, help us today as we read your word, as we come together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Remember, we said the first truth of the gospel is just this simple thing. Christ died for our sins. And I want to explain that to you and show you what it means if I can. Why did Christ have to die? What was the purpose of his death? And if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, we'll read those verses together, and then we'll work a little bit our way down into Hebrews here. But he says this, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." Amen. You see, in the old covenant under the law, every single year, over and over and over again, the high priest would sacrifice a young bull for his own sins, and he would go into the midst of the holy place in the temple, and he would sprinkle that blood on the Ark of the Covenant, and two goats would be brought to the high priest, one to be sacrificed for the sins of the people, and its blood would be also sprinkled, I believe, on the Ark of the Covenant, and the other was sent into the wilderness to symbolically carry away the sins of the people. And what we just read there in Hebrews is talking about that very thing. And it says that the offerings of those bulls and goats could never take away sins. Those sacrifices could never make the people perfect. They could never justify the sinner. If they did, they wouldn't have had to do it over and over each year. They wouldn't have had to continue. If it justified them, there would have been no need to do it again and again. But here's what they did. They did those sacrifices, and all the blood of the bulls and the goats down through the years, the Lord says, could never be enough to take away sin. Amen. Could never be enough. It could never take away their sins. It could never justify them. Instead, what he said was, it was a shadow of the good things to come. Now, you need to understand this morning, listen, some of you are still trying to earn favor with God. Some of you are still trying to work your way into heaven. You think, if I just give up this thing, or if I just start doing that thing, then that'll be enough. But I want you to know this morning, it'll never be enough. Your best efforts will never be enough. Your good works will never be enough. Just like theirs were not enough. They're shedding the blood of bulls and goats. It simply was not enough. Now look at verses 5 through 7 and see what it says. Knowing that it was not enough, that it could not take away sin, he says this, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, oh God. God the Father, now I want you to understand, God did not send his Son into the world to show them how to keep the sacrifices better. He didn't try to teach them through Christ how to offer a better sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. No, instead, God sent Christ into the world to be the sacrifice. God the Father, it says, prepared for his Son a body, a physical body made in the likeness of men, flesh and bone and blood, so that he could be tempted in all points, just as we are tempted. You see, the Bible is clear. God is spirit, and God cannot be tempted by evil. But in that body, the Son of God would face temptation. He would be tempted in all points, just as we are. He would have to suffer and overcome sin in the flesh. Now, this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Amen. So Christ was sent into the world, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin in a real physical body in the likeness of man and fully God. Listen, and we see the scripture. Why was he sent into the world? Why did he come? Because in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, God had no pleasure. No pleasure in those things. Those things were not pleasing to God. They were not justifying the sinner. They weren't taking care of the problem. They weren't giving God the glory that he was due. They were just reminders year after year of their continual sin. In 1 Samuel, we read these words. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And so Christ comes into the world and declares, look at verse 7, he declares, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He came and placed himself under the law, that he might fulfill the law through perfect obedience. He said, in the volume of the book it is written of me. In other words, all the shadows in the Old Testament scriptures, they pointed to me. The sacrifices, the ceremonies, they pointed to me. The ark that Noah built, it pointed to me. I am the Passover lamb. I am the tabernacle of God. I am the bronze serpent lifted up in the wilderness. I am the great high priest. I am the wisdom of God. I'm the suffering servant. I'm the prophet of the Lord. I'm the kinsman redeemer. I am the promises of God. I am the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says all these things that you read in the scriptures, they were all pointing to me. And behold, I have come now to do your will, O God. Now, what is the will of God? What is this will? Jesus tells us that in the Gospel of John, this is the will of God. John chapter 6, verses 38 through 40. He said, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Yeah. And I will raise him up at the last day. See, the will of God is that those who see the Son and believe would come to Him and be washed and cleansed, and He will raise them up. He will resurrect them on the last day. The Bible, listen, the Bible is clear. It says we are born again, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of the will of God. Amen? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He come to save you and me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. You say, boy, you read a lot of scripture. That's what's worthy to be read.
Yeah.
If I tell you my opinion, if I stand up here and try to persuade you with crafty words, I might get an emotional response. I don't want an emotional response. I want your heart to see Christ and to believe in Him. And that takes the power of the Word of God to do that work. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. He said, by that will. What will? The will of God that we just talked about. By that will, we have been sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Remember, this is the first point of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ became the sacrifice for us. He shed His blood for the remission of our sins. It was not like the blood of bulls and goats in which God had no pleasure. When Christ came and was baptized, the Father spoke. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He was not pleased with their blood. Oh, but He's pleased with His Son. Amen. And so Christ fulfilled the law, and He offered Himself as a sacrifice once and for all. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. I'd ask you this morning, how would you like every sin of your entire life to be forgiven? Cleansed, washed, and carried away. The Bible says this, if you believe by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, that's exactly what will happen. If you will trust in His blood to cover your sins, then His blood will cover your sins. If you'll believe that God was satisfied in the sacrifice and the death of Christ, that Christ has offered Himself as the sacrifice for your sins in your place, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Perfected forever. I'm telling you that Jesus can do that for you today. He can wash your sins in His blood. This is the hope of the gospel, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. In your place. Why did Christ have to die? Because there is no other sacrifice for sin. There's nothing else that's worthy. There's nothing else that could cleanse sin. It takes the blood of Jesus. That's why we preach to you the blood of Jesus. Because that's what it takes. As the song we sang this morning said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nope, that won't do it. Don't fall for that, friend. Those of you that are here visiting with us, I preach this to the church all the time, but don't fall for the old false religion that says, just be a good person. You can never be a good person. You're stained with sin. Born into sin. He said, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin I was conceived. You can never be good. There is none good. No, not one. There is none righteous. There is none who seeks after God. There is none. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. You're a sinner. The only thing that can deal with your sin. It's not membership in a church. It's not any of the what deals with your sin. What can wash away your sin? It's not the water down there at the boat dock. That won't wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus. That's what washes it away. Now, lastly here, the second part of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. But if you remember the second point, it's that Christ rose from the dead. Now look at what it says in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 10. It speaks of this very thing. He said, but this man, speaking of Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice himself for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Notice it didn't say lay down in the tomb and stayed. He sat down at the right hand of God. He was obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. And through his death, we see the sacrifice that was needed for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But the cross was not the end. Death had no power over him. Listen to what Jesus told them in the Gospel of John. He said, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Are you glad today that we've got a Savior who has the power to take it again? To rise from the grave? Listen, death had no power over Christ. This resurrection, it is the fuel of the gospel. When Paul was preaching in Poseidon, this is what he said. I'm going to read you a snippet of his sermon. He preaches better than I could. He said, and though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, he fulfilled every prophecy. They took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. Amen? But look. But God raised him from the dead. Amen. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings. Good news, in other words. Glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm. And this is what it says. It says, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Resurrection power. Amen. Today I have begotten you. Paul goes on to say this. God raised him up and he saw no corruption. Therefore, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And that's what I'm preaching to you today. You are in sin's prison, but because Christ died and rose again, I get the opportunity and the blessing to stand before you and preach through this man the forgiveness of your sins. Today, you walked in these church doors. If you're lost, you walked in under sin's condemnation, in sin's prison, and you can walk out through this man forgiven of all your sins, cleansed, washed, and set free. You can be a changed person, born again of the Spirit. That could be your testimony today if you'll believe the report, if you'll believe what we're preaching to you this morning. I'm telling you, it can happen to you. God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. At his right hand forevermore, the Bible says, he's ready always to make intercession for you. He will give eternal life to all who believe in his name. If you'll believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is the promise of the gospel, friend. You say, well, I don't understand why we have to do this. I'll tell you why. God hates sin. And God has decreed that the wages of sin is death. And this is the just punishment that we deserve for our sin. The wrath of God, judgment, eternal damnation. We deserve it. We deserve it. Our sins are an act of rebellion against our Creator. Our sins have separated us from God. And listen, the Bible says the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. That law just shows you more and more just how sinful you really are. But, this is what it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm telling you today, you can experience that victory. Victory from sin, victory from death. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Church, Christian people, you should be rejoicing this morning. You should be rejoicing. I want you to think about the things that were preached just in this little message. You've been perfected forever. God no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees it because of the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because of His grace that gave us the victory, we have been perfected forever. We are in Christ, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And I'll take you back to Hebrews just for a moment as we get ready to finish up. In Hebrews chapter 10, again, verse 9, I like what it says. It says, He takes away the first that He may establish the second. The old covenant of the law is taken away, and a new covenant has been established. Look at verses 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, I love what he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Are you glad for that? Yeah. Can you at least worship to that? Yeah. Your sins and lawless deeds he remembers no more. Not one sin that you committed does he remember? No more. They're gone. As far as the east is from the west. I don't care what you carried in today. How bad it was. It doesn't matter. You say, well, I've lived 50 years. I've sinned so much. I've lived 60 years. I've sinned so much. There's no way. Friend, that ain't nothing that the blood of Jesus can't cleanse. This covenant that he's made, he promises that he will give us a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. He's going to write his law in your heart and mind. And listen, he's going to take your sins and he's going to cast them away and he'll never remember them again. Boy, some Christians need to hear that this morning. You need to remember that, and some lost people need to know it this morning. You need to know that you can be changed. Listen, at the Last Supper, when Jesus was with his disciples there, he took bread and he broke it. And this is what he said. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. And then he took the cup and he lifted it up and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Amen. He took away the old. He took away the old that he may establish the new. He took away the first that he might establish the second. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Amen. Now let me just take you to Hebrews chapter 10, one more, for just one more verse. And this is the instruction. What should we do? What should we do then, preacher? Look at verses 20 through 22. He said, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. You say, Bill, what do I need to do? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the blood of the Lamb, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Amen. Friend, I just want you to know you can be saved today.
Yeah.
If you trust in Him, the question is, do you believe in your heart that Christ died for your sins,
yeah,
and that God raised Him from the dead, and that, yeah, because He lives, you can live also. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
If you believe that, I want you to know what it's time to do. You say, well, now, I've always believed in my heart. Well, let me tell you, if you believe in your heart, it's time to confess it with your mouth. And then it's time to see the evidence of that belief. Amen? It's time to make your profession known. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, nor His testimony. Amen? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10. He said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. There's no secret Christians. If the heart believes, the mouth confesses.
Yeah.
Amen? It can't help it. And so as we stand together this morning, I offer you just one call. Those that want to, those that are able. One question I ask. Do you believe in your heart? Do you believe in your heart? Are you ready to confess Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life? That's the real question this morning. If you're here this morning and you're lost, this is the real question. Do you believe in your heart? Will you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you step out in faith this morning as the church begins to pray now? Why don't you step out in faith and come to the Savior this morning? I believe some of you have been here many times, and some of you, this may be your first time. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Those that's been here before, I believe you've heard the gospel before. And I believe that you know the gospel call. And I'm asking you to step out in faith this morning and come to the Savior. You can look around this church and see person after person after person whose lives have been changed by the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ has changed my life. The fact that Christ died for me and rose has changed everything for me. My desires, my wants, my passions. And I'm asking you this morning, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? If you do, would you step out in faith and come to the altar? And let's pray together. Let's just pray. If you've already believed in your heart, make your confession known this morning. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Is there any at all this morning? Any at all? Boy, Christ went to the cross for us. And we're so weak that we can barely stand to step out in faith for Him. Would there be one that would come? Any at all? Anybody want to be saved today? Saved by the blood of Christ, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Any at all this morning? Any at all? Do you want to come? Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. Today, believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. You say, well, what if I don't? Well, friend, I'm telling you this. If you die without Christ, where He is, you cannot come. There is a resurrection awaiting you. But it'll be a resurrection unto the second death.
Yes, Lord God.
It's a warning to you this morning, friend. There's only two places where you can spend eternity. In Christ or in hell.
Yeah.
You can be with him. You'd humble yourself down and come to him for forgiveness. We're going to go together in prayer.